Welcome to this week's episode of the Baron Vaughn Fantasy BS Podcast, which is what I put the name as on CastBox, so we'll see how long that sticks. Welcome back for episode 3, an emergency episode, because as of this time, I am projected to lose to Rob because of a questionable decision to keep in the Minnesota Vikings defense. I didn't want to drop them. I think they're good going forward, but after the last 2 games, maybe I was wrong. Anyway, because of them and their negative a million, I'm projected to lose 89.3 to 97, which is not what I was hoping for going into this week. Anyway, so we'll keep our eyes open for that, but moving on with today's show, we'll start off with a few notes from last week. Some people thought I wasn't hard enough on people's dumb trades, so I'm not sure. I guess I've heard I'm too mean, I've heard I'm too nice, so if there isn't a consensus, forgive me if I decide to err on the side of being mean. Other notes we got this week. Well, I guess this wasn't really a note. It was a personal note from Trevor. And I decided to ditch previewing each matchup every week for the 1 week that I actually did that. I don't have any insight on other people's teams, let's be honest. It's lucky that my team is where it is. So instead, I'm just going to look at each matchup and pick who I think is going to win and why, and maybe if I think of some implications, we'll roll with that. So other things to look forward to in this show, unfortunately no interview. I am actually late in doing the podcast because I went over to my cousin's house to watch Thursday Night Football, which is when I usually do the podcast, and I had planned on talking with them about a few. They've got some fantasy football knowledge and, you know, some dirt on Adam, Kenny, and I that I thought I could incorporate into the podcast, but It turned into a literal wrestling match for a little bit. I don't have time to go into it. But anyway, that didn't happen. And it's a little late to invite Kenny in for the interview. He's in the middle of a parent-teacher conference, and he really needs to keep up his energy to, you know, scout out the single moms, decide who he wants to give my phone number to. I want him to be well-rested for that, so I won't wake him up. Well, you're stuck with me. We'll hopefully make it a little shorter. Though I think bringing on other people, you know, that's probably the intelligent part of the podcast. So going forward, I'll make a better effort of, you know, lining things up that way. All right, so just a few other things to look forward to on the show. I'll recap last week's matchups. I think that's fun still. But, I mean, I could change it any time, so we'll see how that goes. I'll also mention some of the notable transactions from this week. It was a little bit slower on the trades, but we'll still go into that, and then we'll do the pick'em that I was talking about, and end on the hot takes. They're not as spicy as last week. I mean, it's hard to top just talking smack on Rob's team. So where I'm losing right now, it's just not appropriate. Shoot. Anyway, thanks, Vikings D. But first, a message from our sponsors. So this week's episode is sponsored by, and when I say sponsored by, I of course mean this week's episode I am sponsoring. Freezing your credit reports, guys. I feel like I spent a lot of money and spent a lot of time in class learning about financial planning that I should probably, if I feel strongly about something, share it. But last Friday, it was made, well, there was a law passed months ago, but last Friday it was implemented that you can freeze your credit at any one of the credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, Experian, then there's a smaller one, Innovus. There are other ones if you care to look into it, but at least the big three, I recommend going and freezing your credit. Like I said, it's free. I froze all of mine, and it took maybe 10 minutes to freeze all of them, and then I also went to the FTC, Federal Trade Commission's website, and removed myself and my brother from the pre-screened offers for, like, insurance or credit cards. And the reason to do this, unless you were living under a rock, you probably heard that Experian last year released something awful, like 100 million Americans' personal information, which includes name, social, address, date of birth, everything that you would need to get your identity stolen. They released it to whoever looks for it, which means that all of our identities are vulnerable because they were lax in their security measures, which means that the only way to ensure that only you have access to your credit is to freeze your credit. You'll still be able to apply for loans. You'll just have to save the password that they give you so that your information is protected from people who are trying to steal it. The FTC website I bring up because it helps prevent against people. I live on a busy street, and if the wrong letter was sent to my house and somebody else picked it up, I could be in a bad position because my information got into the wrong hands. So I recommend doing that. Once again, that's freeze your credit reports and go to the FTC website and opt out of the pre-screen for insurance and credit card offers. Thank you for listening to Trevor Alphen's financial planning tips and hints. Hope you enjoy. All right, so a preview of last week's matchup, starting with your boy, as is customary. We had Baron Von Seahawks going up against in a bit of a family rivalry match. Team Slow White Ugly, in case you were unaware, is my dad. He's been in the league, I think, since the inception. He was one of the early guys as well. Still looking for his first championship. Maybe his first playoffs. I'd have to verify that, but it's not that outrageous to say. Sorry, Bill. On paper, it looked a little bit closer than it ended up being. Like, I've talked to a few people around the league. My team, we're just built to do our thing. We're going to go out there. We're going to score our 125. We hope we're going to hold the other team to less. We're going to leave it all out there on the field. But at the end of the day, if somebody like Kenny scores more than a 125, he's going to get the W and we're going to take the loss. But, you know, we're going to play our game. We're not going to let anyone else dictate it. And luckily, we were able to play our game this week. Drew Brees had 5 total touchdowns. Sweet spin move on one of his rushing touchdowns. So, turns out the old bald man still has a little bit left in him. Unfortunately, on the other side, the old handsome full head of hair man, Tom Brady, he put up 9.5 total points, which is not where you want to see. Bright spot on Bill's team, though, he picked up Smallwood from Philadelphia. Rob and I actually were playing some DraftKings on Sunday, and we bet on Corey Clement rather than Smallwood, and it turns out Bill was right on that as far as who was going to get the touches in Philly, so that was a good pick. You know, other than that, there weren't a lot. I mean, Kenny Gallup, I don't actually know if his name's Kenny. It's probably not Kenny. So Galladay, the rookie receiver for Detroit that we were cheering for, Bills got him on his team and started him, and he had a respectable game, 50 yards, a touchdown. So he could be somebody to watch. He's kind of taking receptions from Marvin Jones, and he was even eating up a little bit of Golden Tate's over-the-middle stuff. So that could be another bright spot. As far as my team, you know, like I said, we just go out there and play our game. Not much else to say out there. We just, you know, leave it out all out on field. So on to the next week and on to the next matchup to recap. So this one, we've got D-Gen Anonymous versus the newly minted Burkeback Mountain. Not only is it head and shoulders above Team Burke, which has been Burke's team name for, I don't know, half a decade. You'd have to tell me, Burke, but way too long. The league consensus and luckily, my personal favorite as well was Burkeback Mountain, proposed by my dad. Kudos to him on the solving of one of the league's major issues over the years, why Burke had never bothered to change his name. So it's good to be past that, and we'll find other things to complain about as far as Burke's team goes. He was able to start Carson Wentz for his first week back from the ACL. Unfortunately, it wasn't what you were hoping to expect from the MVP candidate last year. He put up 12.2. Luckily, Kirk Cousins, in an absolute mystery. I don't know that I've ever been more surprised by a football game. When I saw that the Buffalo Bills, who I've watched play and are for sure the worst football team in the league right now, just demolishing the Vikings in Minnesota. Part of that meant Kirk Cousins scoring 9 points, which is not what Drew was looking for at QB position. Luckily for him, McCaffrey stood up and put up darn near 20 with 19.4, and that was without touchdowns. He just carries in yardage, and McCaffrey, of course, catching passes out of the backfield. OBJ had a solid game. Will Disley, the tight end technically backup tight end for the Seahawks. He had one catch for 4 yards, so that's not really a starting tight end you want to have in your lineup. And Tyreek Hill, he put up a pretty pedestrian 5.6. He's been fire all year, so we'll see where that ends up. So with the final on that one being basically 95-88 for Drew, that'll solidify his spot in the number 3 on the power rankings, and he's sitting good in his division as well. Somebody who's not sitting good in their division is this next matchup. We've got Lights, Kamara, Action, Rob Gammon versus Adam, Utah's Patty Cakes. Both of them in the same division, both coming into the game without a win, and they both really need this game. Rob put out Deshaun Watson, and you can't really ask for more than 29 points at your quarterback. If you happen to have played Cam Newton like Adam did, then you ended up with a little bit more, but away she goes. Alvin Kamara, probably the only bright spot on Rob's team other than Watson. He put up almost 20 as well. Compare that to 2.6 from Rex Burkhead, who ended up, I want to say it was some sort of ligament injury. He's actually on the injured reserve. But Adrian Peterson, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. The man doesn't age. He might be football genius. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But the most interesting player, and I would dare say the only reason why Adam won this game, was Robert Woods with a breakout game of 10 receptions, 104 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He demolished for Adam's team, made up for the -6 by his Chargers D. And those of you who remember last week's podcast, we talked about how Robert Woods was actually on Rob's team and he traded him to Adam, which, I mean, you hate to see a player that you give somebody else almost single-handedly bring down your team. It makes you think. It makes you regret some decisions. Or it would me. I don't know. You'd have to ask Rob. Moving on to our next matchup, we've got Cody versus Dak Vader, Tyler Wardner. Cody being, of course, our reigning champion. Dak Vader, a mover and a shaker in the league. He's made a couple of transactions, and then he's also moving his way up the power rankings. Don't have them on me right now, but I want to say he was maybe 4 or 5. Either way, he's looking a lot better than he has been even at the beginning of the season. He's got a strong team. And this is not just love that I'm heaping upon him because he was a little upset that I didn't give him enough love in the podcast. So, you know, all my love to Tyler. We had Matt Ryan. So, Tyler, I mean, I already said I love him, but I've been telling you for years that not playing Dak Prescott on your fantasy team doesn't mean that you can't cheer for the Cowboys. It just means that you're looking to win some fantasies. And this week you were looking to win some fantasy games by starting Matt Ryan, who just went out of his mind in that shootout with the Saints that also got Drew Brees, my quarterback, the 40-plus points. So kudos to Tyler for finally benching a mediocre quarterback for somebody who's good at fantasy football. Speaking of which, somebody who's good at fantasy football and has been doing it for quite some time, not flashy or anything, just doing his thing, is Giovanni Bernard, the addition to Cody's team, getting a lot of more opportunity now that Joe Mixon is out for a couple of weeks, injured. But he put up 14.5. That's nothing to sniff at. Unfortunately for Cody, it's really hard to win when the other team puts up 50. And I mean, I'm not going to say that starting Derrick Henry, probably backup running back now in Tennessee over Chris Carson, the starting running back in Seattle. Seattle not as gloriful as they used to be, but still a solid team. A lot of good players, a lot of good fans, a lot of good fans. It was a good game. Seattle won, first game of the season. But Chris Carson, 18.4 on your bench, Cody. 15 points, that's a swing. That is a swing. It doesn't put you over the edge, obviously, but it's the little decisions that separate those who are a fluke of a champion or those who have multiple championships. So I'd encourage you to work on little things, you know, putting in the good players rather than washed up Alabama running backs. But you do you, buddy. We go on to our next matchup, which is the still struggling Kev, J. Slow and Fuego versus Dan, Viking Suck. New name for this year, and I'm getting used to it. Still not getting used to Lights, Alvin Kamara, or whatever that is, but Dan's name's warming up on me. And Dan, I'm not going to take all of credit, but after some chastisement for benching Aaron Rodgers, what do you know, he starts him and gets himself a win. Also starts Davante Adams and Jimmy Graham, who didn't look... Graham didn't look great. He was also injured for a little bit. He came in. And Mason Crosby. There were a couple other former Packer, Jordy Nelson. I mean, you can't blame Dan for not playing him over Jackson, but you'd like to think that Dan would remember all of the good times that Aaron Rodgers had with Jordy Nelson and, you know, give him the respect he deserves, but to each his own. And then we have Kev, whose team was struggling, and then he traded away Ezekiel Elliott for, some would say, a little bit less than Ezekiel Elliott. Most would say that. Some would say BYU players were involved, which is historically not good for wins, BYU included, though I am crossing my fingers about the Washington game this week. Go Cougs. But yeah, Kev tried to go with the strategy of playing all of the lesser Packers, I guess, to somehow cancel out Aaron Rodgers' magical Packer power. I'm not inside Kev's mind. I can't say why he did it, but I can say that it's not something I will be trying after looking at the result. One thing to note, though, Gronkowski finished with 5 points this week after, I want to say, 2 or 3 last week. It's not what you expect to see out of. Some people had him as the number one tight end coming in this year. Though I guess you could ask Cody or even Kenny about, you know, what the number one means at the beginning of the year versus, you know, selling for pennies at the dollar right now. But yeah, Gronk, it's something to look at going forward. Is he maybe washed up? Maybe should they have traded him to the Lions? I don't know. And then the last matchup to review, and if you'll remember, it was our arbitrary game of the week, Jordan's Hysterical Heroes versus Kenny's Show Me Your TDs. Talked about seeing whether or not Patrick Mahomes could keep it up, and what do you know? 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and a win. Kid might be legit. I don't know. He's got definitely the athletic ability. I haven't seen him make the same poor decisions that you'll see out of bad quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, sorry, Tyler, Andy Dalton makes some bad decisions. Anytime Sam Bradford gets that deer in the headlights look in his face, you can see it when somebody's not. That Peterman guy in Buffalo, like, that kid couldn't start for high school. You can tell when somebody's bad. Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't have any of that. He's electric. Unfortunately, like we talked about, David Johnson is not electric, but 12 is solid. Saquon Barkley, 17.7, that's what you want to be at. Kelce, Jordan for you, that's Kelce, the tight end for Kansas City. He had another big game with 114 yards. Michael Thomas over on Jordan's side, he's been probably the number one receiver so far this year. Put up another 13, but it just wasn't enough as Jordan fell 5 points short, I guess 5.1 from the W. Chris Thompson really, really was just killer. Maybe you start White over him? Thompson's been doing good. It was probably the right decision. It's just bad luck. Nothing you can do about that. Russell Wilson probably should have had more than 192 yards, but the minute Jordan starts nitpicking Russell Wilson's game is the minute I've got to crack some skulls. So those are last week's matchups. We'll move on to the transaction review. Like I said, as far as trades go, it was a pretty slow week. We had a trade that was Jordan Reed, the tight end for Washington, and Danny Amendola for Will Disley, the tight end for Seattle. Once again, he's the backup tight end for Seattle. So the real meat and potatoes of this trade is Belial Powell. Nothing flashy. It's a starter and a bench player for a starter and a bench player. Different positions. It's fine. Some fine's fine. Not super excited about either player, but we'll see how it works out. We already talked about the pickup of Smallwood by Will. We'll see going forward how much he retains as soon as Jay Ajayi comes back. Chris Clement is supposed to do stuff, and then they've also got Darren Sproles, who was injured. It's just really crowded back. We'll see what happens. Some other transactions of note. not big notes. Like I said, it's a slow transaction. But Rob added David Njoku, the tight end for the Browns, dropping the rookie wide receiver for Denver, his Broncos, Cortland Sutton. Fun fact about David Njoku, Rob's got a bet on his season, and I mean, you can see how he isn't even reliably on Rob's fantasy roster. You probably guess how that bet's going for him, but ask him about it sometime. It's a fun story. Or you can ask Drew. He's the one that's going to win the bet. Other transactions. Kev dropped Jimmy G, Jimmy GQ, Jimmy Garoppolo. He had that injury, non-contact injury. You hate to see that. At the sideline in that. Done for the season. Which means that Rob's buddy, Beathard, Bethard, he's definitely not good enough for me to remember his name. Anyway, he'll be the one throwing passes, though probably less, if I'm being honest, there in San Francisco. So anyone with San Francisco players, make note of that. Other transactions, Adam did drop Delaney Walker. He was also injured, something that Drew helpfully pointed out to Adam. And then we have Rob in another anti-Broncos move. Anyone's a Fairweather fan is dropping the Broncos defense for division rival Raiders defense. Are you kidding me, Rob? I mean, yeah. Have we talked about season tickets for the Raiders games when they moved to Las Vegas? We have. But you always claimed you would go to cheer against the Raiders for the Broncos. It's not looking like that. So, a surprise new segment that I hadn't intended on being a surprise, but it turned out to be a surprise, because I forgot to introduce it, is the playoff odds section, where I go through and we'll talk about who the current playoff teams are and the odds of all the teams making playoffs. For those of you who may have forgotten, the playoffs changed this year, and the playoff teams have been reduced from 8 to 6. Those 6 teams, representing the 3 league champ, or not league, sorry, representing the 3 divisional champions, and then the other 3 wildcard spots being determined by the record of the other teams, regardless of their division. And then if we had to get down to it, I'd probably go points 4 after that, but let's just hope it doesn't come to that, because I just don't need that in my life right now. So as we're recording this podcast, it's pretty late at night on Thursday for grown-ups. I'll be for another hours. But I just got a text in the group chat from my dad, and it's Lucille Bluth winking. I have no idea the context, but it, I'm not sponsoring it this week, but if you haven't seen Arrested Development, you owe it to yourself to watch a few episodes. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore. It's on Hulu, and it is, it's a little dry, it's a little slow-moving at first, but there are just so many levels to how funny that shit is. Anyway, back to the playoff odds calculator. Our current number one, projected number one seed would be Kenny. Show me your TDs. He's got a 98% chance of making the playoffs. Drew coming in second with a 97% chance. They have the same record, so my guess is the differentiator in that 1% would be the total points for. Yours truly, Baron Von Seahawks, is projected at a 92% chance of making playoffs, which is, I lost to Kenny. I'll admit that. We went out there, we played our game, but Kenny played his, and he played his a little bit better. Can't be mad about it. So that puts me down to the 92. And then something to watch out for. We've got a couple of big, big gaps. The next team is Jordan, Hysterical Heroes, 4. He's got a 70% chance, so that's a 22% difference from 3 to 4. Tyler Warner, Dak Vader at 69%. We've got Birkback Mountain at 58% chance of making playoffs. We've got Viking Suck at 57. And then we've got another big gap. We've got Pocket Dogs, Cody at 21% odds of playoffs. Kev at 12% odds of playoffs. Rob at 11%. Adam and Will both have an uphill battle, single-digit odds of playoffs. Like I said, like I alluded to, now I'm literally saying something's got to change if you're looking to make the playoffs. If you're looking to make the best of what you got, I wish you luck, and I pray that you don't spoil my season, but you're welcome to do whatever you want with yours. It's your team.
But I did want to circle back to Rob at 11% chance of making the playoffs. Now, as I have admitted, I've been honest about this from the beginning, but he is currently projected to be, so that would go a long way, heaven forbid, of improving his odds at making the playoffs. But starting off 0-4, he might be eliminated, which I don't even know what to say. Looking at his team, everything the quote-unquote experts are saying, he's got probably a top five team in the league. It's just he took too long to take his terrible draft and turn that to what it is today via trade, and it might mean that his season's over on Monday if he loses to me, which I know we're all hoping for, but he's another one that probably needs to blow it up at this point. Gotta do something. So those are the playoff odds, the actual playoffs standings and seeding right now. Projected, obviously, it's far out in the, not so far, but it's a ways out in the future. So we've got Kenny as the projected number one seed. We've got Drew as the projected number two seed. And we've got Tyler Warner as the projected number three seed. He's currently leading his division. Then the number four seed, we've got yours truly, Baron Von Seahawks. The number 5 seed and the number 6 seed is actually a 3-way tie. That's Jordan, Burke, and Dan. So that's 3 players for 2 playoff spots. Not going to go through to do the math, look back at matchups and whatnot. But needless to say, there are a few levels of the league as far as, you know, how things are looking at this moment. It's still a lot of season ahead of us. We still got to go out there. We still got to play our game, you know, just control the pace, but it's interesting to see the separation this early, to say the least. So I think that wraps up the new segment. I liked it. I think I'm going to keep it. Let's be honest. Feedback, if you don't like it, you're more than welcome to tell me that. Probably shrug it off. Normally this would be the spot for the interview. Like I said, I don't have the context yet. I'm putting the time in the ground, trying to go out there, meet some people, make some contacts, but I don't have a lot of backstage access. Still working on that, so we'll get something together for next week, and my apologies that you had to listen to me this whole time. So going on to the pick'em, where I decide who I think is going to win this week, which normally isn't that big of a deal, but I've been honest from the start when I said that Rob's projected to be my team right now. It's a hard fact to face. I'm facing it as best I can, but I still believe in myself. And if I don't believe in myself, then who else is supposed to believe in myself? So I'm picking me, Rob. I don't care what the projection says. I'm picking me to win this week. Yeah, that's right. I said it. But since I'm calling you out on the internet to be enshrined forever, I am willing to put a lunch bet on this week, even down the 8 points. So if you hear this, if you want to make the bet, the winner of this week's fantasy matchup gets lunch. Loser has to buy it. Take it or leave it. Try it out. Next matchup, we have Birkback Mountain versus Cody Pocket Dogs Christensen, the reigning champion of the league. Struggling so far. And this one, we've had a couple of players play. Gurley went out there, 21.6. He is just tearing it up. I watched the game, and he is a man among boys. I'm impressed. But I am also impressed with Adam Thielen, one of the few white wide receivers. I know there aren't any white defensive backs, but 19.5 points, 8 receptions, 135 yards and a touchdown. That is exactly the kind of performance that Cody needs out of his guys to get his season back on track. Birkback Mountain also had Kyle Rudolph play today, 5.7. That's about what you can expect from a tight end. And as of right now, it's projected 100.2 to 99.4 for Birkback Mountain. Birkback Mountain is going to be my pick to win this matchup. Sorry, Cody. I hope to see you on the COD, but I'm going with Burke to win, and honestly, I'm basing it on the defenses. I'm looking at Jacksonville, one of the league's top defenses. Rob, Drew, and I had a conversation about that, but I mean, all of us had Jacksonville up there, and they're going up against the Jets, who, in case you've been in a coma for the last 3 or 4 decades, the Jets are bad. And then Cody is going with the Dolphins defense, who they're a solid defense. They lost Ndamukong Suh, which is obviously hurting them, but he's playing them against the Patriots. The Patriots haven't looked good, and it could very well be the season that the dynasty ends, but I'm not ready to bet on that, which is why I have to bet against Cody. Next matchup, we have Dak Vader versus Team Slow White Ugly. We've got Matt Ryan. I don't imagine he puts up another 50, but I don't think he's going to need to. I've got Tyler winning this, which is also what ESPN has to say about it. Projected 100.8 to 91.9. And in case I didn't vocalize this, I will be keeping track of how well I do at these picks, so there's probably ample opportunity to make fun of my poor analysis of fantasy football. Moving on to the next matchup, we've got Dan versus Adam, and it's projected to be another close one. We've got 90.7 versus 86.3, Dan projected to win. Once again, I am going to have to side with ESPN. I know Rob will say I've been sticking to rankings and projections too much over the course of my fantasy career, but I like Aaron Rodgers versus that Bills defense, and once again, I'm not ready to uncrown the Patriots, and so I can't have a lot of trust in Ryan Tannehill right now, and that's what I'm basing the pick on. But, you know, I don't have a dog in that fight, because they're both my dogs, so, you know what I'm saying, dog? Jeez, it might be a little late for this. Moving on to the next matchup, we've got the struggling Jace Lowe and Fuego versus the current number one in the power rankings, Kenny. And once again, I gotta go with Kenny. I know, listen, I don't even really go to ESPN.com. The ESPN notifications don't work on my phone. I'm not trying to promote, you know, their products or their analysis. I'm just saying, not even Rob, our Broncos homer, has belief in the Broncos defense against the newly crowned king of fantasy football, Patrick Mahomes. And Brandon Cooks has already put up 116 yards and touchdown. That's a super solid showing against what I thought was good Minnesota defense. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe everyone was wrong about that. Yeah, Rob Gronkowski, like we talked about, hasn't been able to impress me. Jamal Williams still went to BYU, so I can't rely on him to win any games. And then our final matchup to pick this week is Drew versus Jordan. That's another good matchup. Kirk Cousins threw 422 yards and 3 touchdowns, which has Drew projected to win 110.5 to 95.5. The Rams defense getting 1 point really doesn't help Drew's cause, and you know what? I want to buck a few trends right now. I'm going to, 1, pause picking on Jordan for a second. 2, put way more faith in my Seahawks and Russell Wilson than anyone should. And 3, I'm really high on the Saints. I don't think it matters where or who they play. I think their offense is going to put up points, which means that I am picking Jordan over Drew in this week's pick'em. But that's marked down, like I said. We'll go over it next week in the pick-up section. We'll start off with reviewing how well or poorly I picked, and then go on to next week's picks. So look forward to probably making fun of me there. Which brings us to our final segment, the hot takes. First hot take is less of a hot take and more of a public service announcement. But we're trying to get together a fantasy basketball league. Basketball is just around the corner. Some people in the league everyone in the league holds fantasy football as their highest priority. But some people, priority 2 is just regular football. Other people, and it's perfectly fine, priority 2 is basketball. I don't agree with it, but I can respect it. And so we've got Kenny, Trevor, Rob, Drew, and Cody in on the basketball league. So actually all of those are members of our current league. We've got a couple of other tentative guys, but if you want to give a shot at fantasy basketball, I don't think I've ever played, so it's a learning experience for me as well. But hit me up, hit up Kenny, put it in the whatever, or on the whatever, or Pinstagram, or who knows what. But you know how to get a hold of me, and I think it'll be fun, so join us. Hot take number two. I had a different hot take that I wanted to go at length on, but I still haven't formulated my entire thesis on it. Well, some of you know what it was going to be. Well, I might bring it back, I don't know. But what I am going to talk about, because it came up as I was watching the Vikings just take a dump against the Rams. So I was watching with some cousins, like I mentioned, and one of the cousins, Nick, some of you might know him as my cousin who broke your collarbone, or, you know, various of you have met him. He was complaining about the number of ties in the NFL, giving crap to the Vikings that they were 1-1-1, obviously now 1-1-2 after their loss, but his statement was, there should not be any ties in a professional sports event. He wants there to be a winner and a loser for every sporting event. And I understand where he's coming from. I personally have given soccer a lot of crap about 0-0 ties and how nobody wants to watch that, and points are the exciting part of sport. But my hot take is that I would rather have a tie than have the games go on for infinity until one team eventually scores. It just seems like injuries are already a huge problem, and that's not going to get less. And, oh, I heard Kenny's door open, and I thought he was coming to yell about ties. Hopefully that's not the case. But yeah, my hot take is I don't mind ties in the NFL. I still don't like them in soccer, but I don't really like soccer, so I guess that's not really something that I can judge. So we'll leave it at that. So that'll be it for this week's podcast. Like I said, I'm sorry that I didn't secure the interview. We'll see if we can't get, I don't know, Baron Davis, Marshawn Lynch, or, you know, Tim Duncan on the podcast next time. Or, you know, we'll have somebody, is what I'm trying to say. But I hope you didn't hate everything that was not the interview this week, and I mean, hopefully we'll see you next week. Good luck in your games, unless you play me, Rob, in which case I hope you lose.